shudder. The footy's on Triple M.
Now on Triple M Footy.
Now they're switched on.
This.
Who are you having a go at here?
Is the Midweek Rub.
Please just call me the Oracle from now on.
Triple M rocks footy.
The Blues went to the Gabba and beat the unbeatable, while the Giants social media team remain undefeatable. In their first outing under Dimmer, the Suns shone bright, while Heaney and Co showed the Swans midfield is more than up for the fight. The Lions were lazy, according to Lachie Neal. Is round zero the real deal? And Mason Cox loves being the AFL's biggest heel. To dissect the first four games of the season and look towards round one, this is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub. Two-time All-Australian Lee Montagna joins us.
Hello, Rabsy. Hello, boys. Yes, we are looking forward to round one. Haven't even had any footy yet, have we, round one?
Well, we've had four games.
Four games. Yeah. But, yeah, can't wait for this one.
Collingwood and Carlton superstar Daisy Thomas.
Yes, I'm back again and excited to be here.
And a man not considered to be in the AFL's top 50 power brokers, oh. Damien Barrett.
I did see that, but there was a lot of other names who weren't part of it also. And
all three in here.
All three in here.
I'm surprised Daisy's not in the top 50 just yet.
Daisy Pierce.
Well, what I did know is a News Limited driven survey had, of the top 50, I think I got to 23 News Limited people or Foxtel people. Actually, a lot of Foxtel. No,
makes sense, sure. But not me. Yeah. No. Who was in? Which were the big dogs from Fox? Gary Lyon or
Jared?
Brownie? Jared was in. Yes.
Of course, all the off-field people were on. Too,
Because
you got to suck up to the off-field people when you're putting that together.
That's right. Yep. What'd you think? What'd you make of the weekend? The footy?
Well, it was interesting.
Yeah.
The first game was a bit of a flop.
Yeah.
Greasy conditions, ball handling not at a premium. Friday night was unbelievable. And then, well, I think the Pies might have ensured that maybe round zero doesn't go again. Well, they needed to put up some sort of a fight. I think everyone was waiting for that game to be the best of the weekend. We saw that Carlton was a good game, and then that last game was horrible.
Are the conditions, Damo, if they're going to continue to do this, to play up in the northern states this early in the year, we are going to have average football with the conditions, humidity and...
Yeah, I mean, you've got that aspect. And yet, equally, if we want to have a zero round or round zero, opening round, whatever they're going to call it, if it was to be in Melbourne too, we saw what the weather was like in Melbourne last week as well, in the 40s. So I don't know what would have happened there. They've got the real estate now. The AFL.
Did you like it?
I did.
Okay.
I did. And I never view it from a Melbourne centric position like some people do. And I respect that. But I didn't. And I quite liked it. It's created something out of completely nowhere. So there were four games we didn't have as an industry this time last year. I liked it. Yeah. And I know what you're saying about the Collingwood GWS game. That was the one with the most anticipation around it. And it was probably the biggest fizzer in some sense, in a competitive sense, but I thought it was good.
Do you subscribe, Joey, to the advantage that the teams get?
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll touch on it later.
We'll
teams
that
have already
days,
played, but then there's teams that now get two buys throughout the year. And my view is, look, it was okay, but I just still can't see why those states can't have the big market share if we started this weekend and everyone played.
Like, all nine games.
Like Sydney, Melbourne could still have had Friday night in Sydney and made that a big marquee. Giants and Collingwood could still have been Saturday night and made that a big feature because there's no NRL in Sydney this Saturday night either. So I just think they could have evened it up and made it all work. But anyway, we'll see. They've got to try something. And yeah, I don't mind how it went.
I'll tell you who did love it, Damo. The AFL media. You were up in Brisbane. Joe was up in Sydney. Daisy, you were up in Sydney and Brisbane.
I got everywhere.
I stayed for 4 days.
Yeah,
that was
send
good.
The invoice, tax deductions, all the good stuff.
Well, you won't be dirty about that game because of what you had to do pre-match for Channel 7, though, is it? Part of your
reckoning
on the GWS
Collingwood. There's no doubt that I get all the big gigs at Channel 7. They tossed a coin as to who had to go to the petting zoo for the Mason Cox and my number came up. Who would have thunk it? So that's all good stuff.
You've done the laundry at the Brownlow Medal. You've done the petting zoo at the Giant Stadium.
Yes, well, and unfortunately for Mason, that was probably the highlight of his night.
Well, that's true. That is true. But you are doing Channel 7 primetime now. We must touch on that.
What did you think of the outfit? Were you happy with it?
I didn't see it.
Damo, Channel 7, usually football, it's all the same. It's the navy blue suit.
Yep.
And
white shirt.
That's about it. Yeah. Navy blue suit. They all wear Daisy's rocked up in a beige number with the white T-shirt underneath.
I see. I like this.
Really different. Yeah.
And the shoe? What was that?
I couldn't see the
white
shoe.
Sneaker.
Did you have the loafer?
Oh, yeah,
the sneakers.
Yeah, little
Miami Vice.
Was this
song?
A Channel 7 wardrobe or Daisy?
Channel 7 wardrobe.
Did you need permission? Did you need to get that ticked off? Because it's normally pretty sort of.
This was in the stylist's hand.
Yeah.
Tam, who does all the wardrobe there, we went into Peter Jackson's and she said, "What would you usually wear?" And a couple of them were a little bit too far. A green and white pinstripe was probably a touch too far, but
and
the beige number got through.
Yeah, nice. That was good. Looked sharp.
Thank you.
And you're part of Channel 7's action tomorrow night.
That's tomorrow, Thursday? Yeah. Friday night. No, oh, Friday night. Pies in Sydney.
Friday night.
And you'll be parking the cars for the players when they arrive.
Yeah, correct. I can't wait to see what I'm doing this week. Shining shoes.
Hey, plenty more to come. Fair dinkum or Fugazi. We'll get your tips for round one. But up next, it's Damo's News. We'll touch on Dusty, Clary Oliver and Lachie Neal calling the Lions lazy. This is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub.
This is the Midweek Rub.
We like it when someone gives you a clip.
Stay in your lane, Damo.
Triple M rocks footy.
A very full Fair Dinkum or Fugazi still to come. This is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub. Joey, Daisy and Damo. Damo, it is time for your news. And Dusty is back tomorrow night for the Tigers.
I love the fact that the Tigers got belted round one against the Damien Hardwick coach Gold Coast Suns. Had a form of a fight back, Joey, didn't they, in the third quarter? And looked okay for a period. But they then get to their second game of the season, the once traditional Carlton matchup that would have opened the season traditionally. And you've got Dusty back, you've got Tom Lynch back, and you've got Nankervis back. The captain, the great full forward, and the greatest big game player the game has ever seen. So we'll get a true feeling as to what 2024 is going to look like, or a more accurate feeling as to what they're going to look like. But there's always excitement with Dusty returning.
100%. And a big stage too, Thursday night footy, first game at the MCG for the year. Can't wait. They need those three back, to be fair. I thought at halftime of that Richmond game, I thought, oh my goodness, like this is way worse than I thought they would be. So they need their big leaders back, and hopefully they put up a good fight, because against Carlton, who are looking in pretty good form, it's going to be a tough ask for the Tigers. But yeah, Dusty still, I think we're starting to see these players that are in their 30s are still really near their peak of their powers. Like his year last year,
second in the best and
elite, yeah. So I think players, the superstars, are still playing really high level well into their 30s. So I wouldn't expect Dusty to drop off at all too much.
Tom Lynch becomes a big one. Hasn't played since round four last year.
You get the mail from Tom Lynch. What sort of shape do you think he's in?
Well, we don't really talk a whole lot of football because there is a slight conflict, but he looks like he's in ripping nick, and he is someone who can cover the ground pretty well. So hopefully that foot's good, because as you say, for a Richmond to be competitive, they need a big power forward to kick some goals, but also be predictable where the drop of ball's coming.
And Joey, I think they were sensible too with how they looked at the first two matches they had. Now, they've come from having no matches at all for almost 6 months to then two in 5 days. And while Dusty had a bit of a niggle, he was never, the way I read it, playing both matches. So they decided to concede the first game and then have him ready for round
Makes sense. The
one.
Short break as well. Yeah. So he, and I think, to be honest, Nank's probably going to be as important as any of them, because they got flogged in the ruck. I know Naismith, great story, and well done to him to get back and play, but Jared Witts had his way with him. And
Samson Ryan wasn't up to it again.
Yeah, allowed Matty Rao to have the 20 clearances that he had. So looking forward to seeing those three back. And hopefully it's a great game and Richmond put up a good fight.
Yeah. Clary Oliver, as we know, was, rushed back into the Melbourne setup on the back of being forced out of it for disciplinary reasons and behavioural reasons. And the whole backdrop to it, I feel, Rabsy, that there was a considerable push to get him back in by the team and the coaches of the team once Angus Brayshaw had his career ended, and it was obviously a vacancy in the midfield spot. I feel it brought forward their timeline for return. We now get to hear Christian Petrarca a couple of times in the past couple of days, and I'm just going to take you back to Fox Footy last night, where he just took us inside what was going on behind the scenes when it came to the key issues at play.
What he's done and the mountain of work he's done over the last 8 or 9 weeks is a credit to him. And yeah, he probably did lost a little bit of trust in some of the playing group, but the way he's earned that back over the last 8 or 9 weeks has been pretty inspirational, to be honest. Because, yeah, I'm not going to lie, like, I didn't think he was going to play round zero or round one. And to do that, and just the way he looks and how healthy he is over the last 6 or 7 weeks has been awesome.
Trust, it's a massive word in footy clubs, Daze. When you lose it, it can sometimes be impossible to regain it, can't it?
It can be. He lost some of the trust, though. So he didn't lose all of it, which we do need to go into the detail there. I don't know. I still don't think Melbourne have handled this the best way they could. There is all well and good to come out and be honest in that approach, because we do like that. But there's also the point of protect the player, publicly protect him, have these conversations behind closed doors, come out even from the point where it started of we might trade him.
That was part of it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Feel they got beyond the protection of him. My take on it is that they overly protected him for too long in the way that they had some commentary publicly that made them look silly last year. In the end, when you look at it all together and in hindsight, and they were protecting him publicly for a period of time. Okay. And then obviously the behavioural, and it was a return to the preseason camp they had down in the coast area somewhere. he rolled up and he was basically nodding off and back asleep before this lunch session of the first day back that he was allowed back. So then they then had that time away again. So do you see it similarly too, Joey, to Dace?
No, I agree with you. I think that in the end, that was the tipping point. I think for 2 years, they dealt with all his off-field behaviour and they tried to manage it.
So we think this has been going for onwards of 2 years.
Probably longer. Yeah, however long. Probably it's longer. Just, right. I mean, yeah. So anyway, but look, I actually liked hearing Christian Petrarca speak. I've heard it. He was on radio as well and speaking on Fox. I think he spoke really well. You are allowed to, you know, earn back the trust of players. I mean, we had players all throughout your career that might break the team rules all the time and they break the trust, but you can earn it back. And I think that this is will be great for Clayton Oliver because I think this could humble him a little bit. I think he realises that it's not just I can do whatever I want, I'm going to get away with it. He knows now that if he mucks up again, they'll just drop him and or he won't play. So he understands that. I think it could be a positive for them. I think some good can come out of it. Doesn't mean he's going to be perfect and he's still got his challenges, but I like the way they've gone about it from here and what's what they do from here that matters really, isn't it? With how they go about it and that's all they can do.
30 disposals. He wasn't out of place.
He was fine. Oh, yeah,
he always is though, isn't he? Even last year, Dace, when he came back after the 12 weeks off, he was more than good.
In the finals, he was their best player.
Yeah.
And he hadn't played for 12 weeks. Yeah. He played two games back. So I hope they can see the positive to come out of it.
We got to hear a lot of Brisbane Lions people in the off season, particularly as the first game drew near. Chris Fagan, Lachie Neale was really open and honest about his own form at key moments in the grand final itself and the way they had debriefed as a footy club. Well, they've had another significant debriefing after the loss to Carlton on the weekend, and Lachie Neale unusually was quite open publicly about what went wrong against Carlton.
A little bit of selfishness. We weren't cohesive on defence, just our intensity and hunger for defence and probably contest dropped away and they punished us. We probably chose some easier options, a little bit lazy on defence at times and didn't dig in. Maybe guys bought into how good we are and how well we're going. We certainly know that we're not ahead of the rest and we're still chasing. We haven't achieved anything yet.
Firstly, love the honesty. Love how he spoke, and they're the conversations that go on internally. So to then share them externally is great for the footy fan. I have to agree. I've watched that game back behind the goals. I'm going to do something on Brisbane tonight on the watch list on AFL 360, but I'm more going to focus on the last 7 or 8 minutes and the ability to close out the game. In regards to the third quarter and what happened before halftime, he's spot on. If you watch it back, some of the midfielders, then they're desire to run defensively and to pick up an opponent and all that was pretty average. So I think
so it was right use of the word selfish in your assessment.
I think so. However they want to describe it, selfish, lazy, taking the foot off the pedal, the easy path, all those sorts of terms was probably what happened. I think they probably just thought it halfway through the second quarter, gee whiz, we're going pretty well. How good are we?
Understandably. Yeah, had 100 points written on it.
That's for us and to say, not for the players.
Even in the third quarter, though, what they 1-6 they kicked to 7-2. So they did shoot themselves in the foot a little bit there and kicked themselves out of it, which would have probably covered for the lack of defensive running. Yeah. So sometimes these things, when you do lose, you just tighten the screws a little bit when it is your first hit out.
And the 1-6 coupled with a 1-point loss against a team that nearly or pushed them in a preliminary final last year. So it's not the world's ending, but at the same time, they want to fix it up pretty quickly. You touched on before, guys, and we flagged it for conversation now, the benefits of playing last week against the benefits of not playing and then being fresh this week. We've got a couple of matches that involve teams that both had played last weekend. We've got a couple of matches that only contains one team that played last week and one team going in fresh. If you can, in the 2024 lens that we put on footy, using your own experiences in this space, who benefits most?
Off the cuff, let's take one side each. You take being fresh and the positives and what you think of being fresh, and I'll take playing of already playing a game because I'm not sure. Yeah. I think sometimes if you've played a game already, you're going to be sore. All right, that's just straight away you're sore, you're in your recovery mode, where these players that are fresh, is that going to be better or not? I actually don't really know. I would rather come in fresh. I think it would advantage the team that haven't played yet. I think if you've already played one game and the level of the intensity of round one, you're going to be banged up, you're a bit sore, and it might just take you a little bit more time to get going, a little bit like teams off the bye. We've sort of seen history-wise off the bye. I don't know. I'm not really sure, actually.
Yeah, we won't know, will we, until we see some results this weekend.
Yeah, there is nothing like the first round, though. You know, it's like the first 15 minutes of the first game, everybody is blowing. So that physical advantage, you might be knocked up, but actually playing at 100% game intensity, we saw that preseason form memes absolutely bugger all on the weekend. So to have the advantage of a genuine hit out at AFL intensity, We might be all wrong, but I think it will be an advantage.
Having got through the weekend.
Having got through the weekend. Yep.
Yeah, and then you've got the other layer of questioning about what's right or wrong, given that it seemed like Carlton will have had those two hitouts and then a bye straight away. And Chris Scott had some views on that. I just take the view that there's 23 matches have to be played over basically 25 weeks this season. It's going to even itself out, isn't it, by the time the season
finishes? You can say that, but for some teams that have got two byes, I think Melbourne play four games to start the season, then a bye, which is probably pretty handy, and then they have another one later in the year.
That's probably better than two, isn't
it? Yeah, other teams just have the one bye. These things do factor in, but what could anyone do about it? You've just got to suck it up and do the best you can.
Well, we'll get your tips for round one shortly, but up next on Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub with Joey, Daisy and Damo, it's Fair Dinkum or Fugazi.
Is the Midweek Rub.
I don't think I've ever cheered so much for a football team that I don't really give a stuff about.
Triple M rocks footy.
Get your tips for round one next, starting off with Carlton versus Richmond at the MCG. But right now, on the Midweek Rub, it's time for this.
Now on the Midweek Rub, it's...
Fugazi, Fugazi, it's a wazi, it's a woozy, it's a...
You love whistling all the time, don't you, Joe? We'll start with you then, mate. Isaac Heaney is a midfielder.
I have to say Fair Dinkum from what we saw round one. I've always been one that's been a little bit critical of Isaac Heaney. A lot of hype, and sometimes his inconsistency frustrates me because of the talent. But from what we've seen off the weekend, I think he has to play as a midfielder who can push forward permanently. I think that's the go, so Fair Dinkum.
Daisy, Kitty Coleman is irreplaceable at the Lions.
Fugazi, because they will replace him this week with someone off half-back. Again, this will provide opportunity. They'll get to see somebody or maybe provide an opportunity for a half-forward to go to half-back and take the game on. They do need to replace someone like him with almost a like-for-like because he's the one that sets them up.
They don't exist, They don't exist.
What, half-back flankers?
Kitty Coleman's.
Well, they do.
Not Kitty Coleman's in the Brisbane structure. They don't exist.
I reckon they've got to manufacture one. I think they go Dane Zorko.
Go and find your best kicker.
I think you go
Zorko.
And put Dane Zorko and say, right now, you have to become our designated kicker off halfback. They've always had one, haven't they?
Daniel Rich was the one.
And Hodge and now Coleman's been, they need a kicker because that's how they set their whole game up. The others back there, McKenna and Wilmot and stuff, have got some run and speed, but not just sort of stand and deliver kickers. Maybe at his age, at 34, 35 years of age, for Zorko, this is his chance to maybe cement his spot as a halfback flanker and lead him to a flag.
Kitty Coleman did have the Matt Sucklings about him, though. He looked this way, to the defence, and then plug one through the corridor, which is very hard to defend. Yeah. When you're selling the cues one way, everybody slides across, and then bang, through you go.
Damo, you were up there firsthand and saw it. The AFL is better when Carlton are up and about.
That's absolutely Fair Dinkum. It has been a long-known established VFL/AFL fact, Rabsy, that a fit and firing and arrogant Carlton, as annoying as it is for non-Carlton people, is good for the comp.
Daisy, the Giants are the early leaders both on and off the field with their social media.
Fair Dinkum. On the field, they're flying, but off the field, they are doing great things. For anyone who doesn't follow their Instagram account, get on. It's first rate.
Yeah,
I agree. They take no prisoners. They just rip into everyone.
They rip into their own players.
Yeah, it's good. At least they're consistent. But what they did about the Pies on the weekend from the in-betweeners, going up in their room sobbing, it's just good fodder.
Joey. Brody Grundy should get stung by a blue bottle pregame every week.
he didn't need to be stung by a blue bottle. He was stung by the way that he's been handled the way that it ended at Melbourne and didn't get the chance. He was brilliant. And you sort of he's proved that he's still one of the premier rucks. Absolutely. I was sort of wondering to see. It'd been a while since we'd seen the very best of Brody Grundy, the All-Australian version. I think we had to go back to 2019. But, he showed that he is still at the peak of his power. So well done to him.
Damo, forget Dream World, Sea World, or Movie World. Dimmer World could be the Gold Coast best ride come September.
Fugazi, I'm going to need to see a whole lot more. It's probably a premature statement for me to rate there, Rabsy. Mm-hmm. I like where you're going with it, but not for me just yet.
All right, I'll stick with you. And this one came from Joey, so not me.
Hey, Luke
Beveridge selecting Lockie Bramble over Jack McRae is the most Luke Beveridge selection ever.
So is that official that McRae's out as a result?
Well, it hasn't been confirmed, but the
Lockie
word
Bramble
is
will play.
Lockie Bramble
will play. No, they will play, but is that mean McRae's out?
The talk is that he might not play.
Yeah. This wasn't meant to have backup questions.
No,
this was
meant to be a pile on from you on to Luke Beveridge.
I like to deal with facts. It's an out there. It's in the zone. So I'm going to say it's a Fair Dinkum response there, Rabs. It's in the zone. Look, I think it's good. I mean, McRae does need some pressure put on his spot, and if that's how it comes early, well, that's fair enough.
And Caleb Daniel, the talk is not even a certainty to play as well. It's just bizarre, but that's the way Bevo likes to do it.
Yeah.
We don't want to harp on this too much, Daisy, but if any past ruckman would love what Mason Cox did pregame, it would be Big Mummy.
Yes, absolutely. That's fair dinkum. And maybe Big Monkey as well.
Oh, yeah.
Or any ruckman any from an earlier era. Look, I understand in the world that we live in, we're now also setting agendas for what happens at clubland and in terms of the lower levels for kids growing up. It wasn't a whole heap in it. They probably didn't need an AFL inquiry.
I don't
even
know
how
he got a reprimand, by the way.
Yeah.
Out of it all. Yeah.
That's the very PC world we live in.
Mm-hmm. Damn, I'll play you a little bit of audio here.
Is Danger flat with you about the Norm Smith? Has he got over the fact that the judges gave you the votes? Because he thought he was pretty handy in the premiership decider.
I don't know how he could be flat. I had 36 and kicked 3. They were all in the first 3 quarters. Danger rocked up. It was fourth quarter. And he's had 10 touches and he wanted the Norm Smith. Go home, buddy.
In his first outing for Triple M footy, Isaac Smith has slotted straight in.
Yeah, he's. I heard most of that particular Thursday rub in question, Ramsey. So that's fair dinkum. Yeah, he's right at home, and you can see why he chose the M's over the others. So.
Stick with you, Damo. Bill Brownless could be Hollywood's next Marlon Brando.
That's fair dinkum too, because we do know, and it's a legitimate approach being made to him by a casting agent based on the Gold Coast to play a character called Crusher. In one of those Brian Brown type Two Hands, remember Two Hands movie with Keith Ledger? That style, again, this is what I'm reading into it. That style of movie, based on the Gold Coast, with Bill to play a knockabout larrikin, who's obviously done some shady things in the past as per
Sounds
his character.
Like Bill, so play yourself.
but someone who could just laugh off, you know, maybe murder and mayhem, and the character named Crusher. So, yeah, fair dinkum.
Coin we talking for this?
Oh, he'll be making Hollywood sure he cash. Asks. He'll be asking for top dollar.
That's brilliant. Would you do that? I'd do it.
If you build, you would, yeah.
No, just in terms of being in a Hollywood movie.
If you were asked to be in a movie.
If
you were asked to be in a movie made on the Gold Coast, would you do it?
No chance. I wouldn't be asked though, Joey.
No, if you were asked.
No.
You could play the hard-ass journalist who takes no prisoners.
The Nick McKenzie role.
Joey, considering Daisy's got married, Brownie's fighting Kane Corns, and Stevie J's last few months. The Sunday rub this weekend is must listen to radio.
We have got plenty of fodder to last us throughout the whole year. And we're going to start with diving deep into Stevie J, what really happened. So,
have you got some doubts over that story?
Oh, we'll just see.
There was a lot of detail.
See, I bought it, and I was concerned. Yeah. I flicked in text messages like other people did. And I was really concerned. But
we'll find out.
Yeah, we'll get to the bottom of it.
Yeah. Just leant into a knife against a fence.
Finally, Daisy, just moving on from that.
Serious stuff, Joey.
This came out today. The AFL media is sleeping on the biggest story so far. Fair dinkum or Fugazi. Omo continue its partnership as the official change room partner, official laundry partner, and official fabric care partner of the AFL.
I'm not sure what the question is really in the end of, but it's fair dinkum. Yeah. You look at the clubs rock up week in, week out, especially your Collingwoods with the white and black, any other side with white shorts. I know that my mum didn't use Omo when I was growing up because I had grass stains from the bottom of my shorts to the top of my shoulders.
From under 12 to under 18.
That's exactly right. And then you watch these blokes roll out and everything's brilliant. So... that's fair dinkum.
Absolutely stainless. Like your tips coming up for round one next on Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub. Joey, Daisy and Damo.
This is the Midweek Rub.
That can be described as one thing and one thing only. That is a genuine brain fart.
Triple M rocks footy.
Of course, you can catch every game from round one on the Listener app and on Triple M. Starting, Joey, with Carlton versus Richmond from the MCG.
Yeah, had a little bit of a chat about this earlier with the big dogs returning for Richmond, Dusty, Tom Lynch and Nankervis. They're going to definitely need all three of them. Carlton, I think, should absolutely be winning this. They'd be very disappointed if they don't. I've liked the way they've gone about it, the Blues. I love the way they came back in the second half, so they should be winning.
Not a gimme, but with Joey on the consistency factor attached to Carlton that we've now seen for a season at least.
Black caviar light this will be. Sit and steer job for the Blues.
Yep.
There's the arrogance you spoke about earlier, Damo, the Carlton fans. Collingwood versus Sydney, Damo. This is a huge game.
I really like the Swans in this. Ooh. Really like them. I know they're the massive underdogs, but I think they're going to go really well in the season itself. I love what they did first up last week against Melbourne. I know there was question marks around Melbourne, but I reckon they match up really well. I'm really worried about those deficiencies down back for Collingwood. Yeah. Nathan Murphy, we don't know about if he ever plays again, unfortunately, with the concussion fears around him. And is Jeremy Howe going to be right? And if he is he going to be absolutely right to go against a pretty versatile Sydney Swans forward line? So I'm quite play this back next week, but I'm confident on the Swans.
I think it was the flogging the Pies needed. Just a little bit of a straighten up, a bit like the Lions. If you start winning those games, you don't really get held accountable. That defensive effort was as bad as you've seen for them for 2 years. They'll get that right, and I will be tipping them to win.
They get the mulligan, the Pies. They wouldn't want to do it twice, and Sydney were, gee, they were impressive at the SCG against Melbourne. So you're right about the depth in the tools department. You know, the defensively, the tools, the forward line, like Ash Johnson and Mason Cox just having no impact. There's still some slight concerns, but
give
I'm going to
do over.
I think they'll win this one though. I think they beat Sydney, but if they go zip two, well then it does start to become a little bit of a talking point.
Daisy, an intriguing game at the G on Saturday. We don't know anything about these clubs really. Essendon versus Hawthorn. One thing we do know, they hate each other, and Darcy Parrish will miss.
Yeah, which is a big out for Essendon. Hawthorn are still banged up from all their injuries throughout the preseason. I think Essendon will get this done rather comprehensively.
They are my certainty for the weekend, the Bombers.
Bombers, yes. I like that.
They shouldn't be losing this. So put that down as my certainty.
Bombers for me, but not certainties.
Okay. Giants versus North Melbourne. They just get the job done, you think, up there again?
Mm. Yeah, poor North.
Geelong Geelong versus St Kilda.
Big game.
The brand new grandstand, the Joel Selwood grandstand, will be opened officially with half the seats, but that's all right. How do we think this game's going to go?
I've got no idea. It's going to be a really good look to see where these two teams are at. It's still early, but who's the better team? Like, who have you got at this stage
I've
thinking?
I've got Geelong high up, as we discussed last week.
I've got the Saints sliding. Yeah.
You've got Saints sliding? Yeah. I've still got the Saints playing finals, but I'm sort of bullish on the Cats as well. I think they can bounce back from their poor year last year. So this will be a great test for the two teams. I'm not going to write off the loser so early. I'm certainly going to stick with both teams, but real big opportunity for St Kilda if they can beat the Cats. But I think Geelong at home, I've got to stick with the Cats at this stage.
For the same reasons, Cats.
Yep, Cats.
Gold Coast versus Adelaide. Now, this is a huge game. Gold Coast Suns were great last week. Adelaide, everyone's tipping to be big improvers.
I'll give you my certainty in this one. The Adelaide Crows will be beating the Gold Coast Suns. Yeah,
not buying the former Gold Coast.
Fake news last week. Yeah, the Tigs were a sitting duck. Gold Coast, yes, they came out with all the hype, but Adelaide, I expect to be going deeper than the Gold Coast Suns this year, and I think they start off with a win.
Not overly bullish on the Crows this year, so I think Gold Coast will keep that form and they'll be 2-0.
Ooh, I'm going for the Crows, but I've got nowhere near the confidence levels of Daisy.
Melbourne versus Western Bulldogs, Damo, another intriguing game at the MCG.
It really is, isn't it? Yeah, for so many reasons on both clubs. I wasn't totally disappointed with what Melbourne did last week. And I feel to your point, Joey, in terms of the conversation we had just had about the teams that have played last week against the teams that haven't, I'm going to go with the Demons against the Bulldogs in this one.
Yeah, not sure what we're going to get from the Dogs. That's been the case for a number of years. In Melbourne, I'm still pretty strong on. I think that's a must-win game for them. The one thing I do know it's certain is Max Gawn will bounce back and have a huge game against Tim English.
Crook last week.
Was he?
Yeah, underdone.
He looked a bit crook. Yeah, he looked it from early in the second quarter. Watching it live, he was struggling. So he'll bounce back and he'll dominate and he'll lead them to a win.
D's for me.
Port Adelaide get a pretty easy start to the season up against West Coast at home.
Well,
playing against Harley Reid. Are there other players for West Coast in that team or just Harley Reid?
Not according to the West Australian. Yeah.
And finally, Fremantle versus Brisbane.
This should be my outsider, the Dockers. I reckon they are a sneaky chance. Brisbane would definitely be wanting to win, but Fremantle might surprise a few this year at home.
You're still working for the Dockers, Joey?
Yeah, he's on the payroll.
Doing a little bit of
that's cash
recruiting stuff.
Cash for comment.
So there you go.
I think the Lions, they were absolutely flat as a biscuit, as they should have been with letting that game slip.
Yep.
Plus, unfortunately for Freo, they get their off.
Plus, we did get the last game and I hadn't tipped my roughie, so I had to pluck one. So that's why I was like, well, who's your outsider? Who's your roughie? You've gone roughie and certainty in the same.
Yeah. Let me have, well, Richmond can be my roughie, but I think the Blues will be winning. So
I'm going to combine my roughie and certainty with the same tip in the Sydney Swans to beat Collingwood.
Well, you can hear every game on the Listener app and Triple M starting tomorrow night between Carlton and Richmond, the all-new Thursday Rub pregame show. Joey, you're a part of that.
Yes,
Jack Heverin, Isaac Smith and Jay Clark from 6 p.m. This is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub. Joey, Daisy and Damo.